Well, that was just like a picture of today's Bible reading. We are one family in Jesus with different gifts given by God. None of us are useless. None of us are interchangeable. When we look at our gifts in light of God's mercy to us in Jesus, any sacrifice in using God's gifts to serve one another is a beautiful act of worship, holy and pleasing to God. Let's look again at today's passage together. On your outlines, you should have got them as you came in. And the big question of today is, what's it there for? Someone tell me, what is the first word in the Bible reading today? Therefore. And whenever you see therefore in the Bible, you need to ask, what's it there for? Do you know, starting at chapter 12 of the letter to Romans is a bit like turning on a movie halfway through. The first 12 parts of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Paul has been reminding them about all the good things God has done to rescue the world in Christ Jesus. But even though Paul is writing to people in the first century Rome church as one family, it's clear from his letter and from the records in history that God's people in Rome really thought of themselves as two churches. There was a Jewish church and a not Jewish church. Some years before Paul wrote this letter, the Roman Emperor Claudius had expelled all the Jewish people from Rome. And about 5 years later, when they were allowed to return to Rome, they found a church that was really non-Jewish. And it was causing lots of tension. And by Paul's day, the church of Jesus in Rome was quite divided. People disagreed about how to follow Jesus and what right worship looks like. So Paul wrote this letter to remind them that they're really one church with one faith in Jesus. So after spending the first 12 chapters reminding them of the gospel they follow, chapter 12 opens with Paul saying, therefore, with all of that mercy at the forefront of your mind, here's how you should live. Let God's mercy shape your worship. Let God's mercy shape the pattern of how we relate to one another. And so those are my two headings for this morning, as you can see from the outline. To point one, Paul's first point about how we are to steward our spiritual gifts is to let God's mercy shape our worship. Let God's mercy shape our worship. Using how we use our gifts in life is an act of worship. Have you ever seen a pot that was root bound? There's a picture up there if you haven't. The roots are trapped in the pot and the pot's become too small and the whole plant has become stunted by the size of the pot. In verse 2, Paul says, when we let our culture shape our thinking about how we live and how we worship, it's like being root-bound. It all starts in the mind. If we let our worship be conformed to the pattern of this world, we'll start to think we are the consumer when it comes to church. And instead of people who live out our faith, we'll become consumers of faith products, hunting around for the best podcast offering or the best church, forgetting that we're not the consumer of worship, God is. Look again at verse 1. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We, friends, we are the offering, giving our lives in an act of worship in response to God's mercy. God wants us to remember that we are his one family and the worship is for his pleasure. Speaking of families, here in Melbourne, I've noticed that families know a lot about sacrifice. I see parents sacrificing financially so that they can give their kids the best schooling and sacrificing their time so that they can give their kids every opportunity. I reckon if you're a big sister or a big brother in this room, you have probably sacrificed what you want heaps so that your little brother or your little sister doesn't make a fuss. But here, the Bible is saying something about sacrifice that's nothing like how the world does it. Worldly sacrifice is like a trade-off. We give something up, and the thing being sacrificed has to die in order to get something we want more, like a trade. Plus, I don't know about you, but when I'm the one making the sacrifice, I notice I'm prone to pride. I start thinking pretty highly of myself, like I'm the one that is sacrificing everything here. That is letting the patterns of this world shape our approach to worship. And it's like being culturally root-bound in our ways of thinking as a church. In these verses, Paul casts a really different vision. When we put ourselves on the altar to God, we are to be sacrifices that keep living. And in view of God's mercy, we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Did you know, I learnt this week, that even if you trim the roots of a root-bound plant back and you repot it or you put it in the soil, the roots will continue to grow inward, following the pattern that they first learnt. Healthy root systems are supposed to grow out, strong, far-reaching. So here's a question. As God's family here at St Hills, what steps do we need to take so that our worship is continually transformed by the pattern and shape of God's mercy? That is our holy act of worship, pleasing to God. So that was point one, and here is point number two. Let God's mercy shape our relating as we serve one another. This is from verses 4 to 8. And in these sentences, Paul addresses the kind of obvious paradox in God's vision. In Christ, we form one body. Each member belongs to the others. We're one, and yet we're many, each with a different function. Remember the skit with the friends before? Different gifts, none useless, none interchangeable. And when shared and brought together, they were transformed into a new and better thing that was better than any of them were on their own. Just as the friends puzzled out their gifts, when we become aware of our gifts, talents and skills, or we notice gifts in those around us, we are to ask, what's it there for? What are the gifts there for? Why did God give these abilities in this time, in this place, to this person? Who are they there to serve? Here in God's word, we see that your gifts are not solely for your benefit. Those who share one faith in Jesus are to share their gifts generously, cheerfully, serving one another with what we have to offer. Okay, here's an easy question. How many different types of gifts does Paul talk about in verses 6 to 8? Can anyone count? How many do you see? I think I heard it. Say it again. Seven, absolutely seven. Well done. I thought it was an easy question. Turns out not. Seven is a bit of a perfect number in the Bible. I think there might be a hint in that Paul isn't exhaustively listing every type of thing we might see in one another. But this is the perfect number. God gives the perfect number of gifts. This question's a bit harder. We're talking today about stewarding our spiritual gifts. How many of those seven gifts in Paul's list are spiritual gifts? Seven. There's one answer. It's a bit of a tricky question. What makes a gift spiritual? The first gift definitely sounds spiritual to me, prophesying. Although today we might understand that more as preaching God's word, which perhaps sounds rather more ordinary. Looking closely at the seven gifts, I agree with the answer, seven out of seven, But the first four are kind of doing tasks, aren't they? Preaching, serving, teaching, encouraging. The last three are primarily financial gifts. Have you ever thought about finances as a spiritual gift? A spiritual gifting of finances. Now, the clever people amongst me are looking at those lists and thinking, I think you've got that wrong. I know our English Bibles say leading, but the original language words are more like donors, patrons, and almsgivers. Those last three, donors, patrons, and almsgivers. A patron is one with responsibility and oversight, as a father provides for his children. A patron governs and provides out of their God-given resources. And I think they're all spiritual gifts. As we think about how to faithfully steward the things God has put in our hands, we're not just talking about times when divine inspiration seems to take over a person. We're talking about natural skills and inclinations, talents, resources, all of which God has given. And by his Spirit, he can transform for supernatural purpose. So stewarding our God-given gifts faithfully calls us to use the gift in accordance with the giver. We need to use our gifts in accordance with the giver. In view of God's mercy, the God who did not hesitate to sacrifice himself to serve us, we give ourselves all our talents and resources generously, diligently, cheerfully, in accordance with the faith we've been given. To steward our gifts faithfully is to offer our whole self, our talents, our resources, and all the minutes of our days as a living sacrifice. Okay, so put your hand up if you're getting the wriggles. I'm getting the wriggles. Yeah, some of us are getting the wriggles. It's time for me to stop. Me too. So, last question, what's it there for? You might be wondering, what is that ugly rag doing on the wall of the Q Church? Didn't we just paint the place and do it up? Why? What is that there for? So I'm going to ask Victoria to come and take the ugly rag away. In our 9 a.m. all-age worship services all year, we have been building this banner. And this banner is painting a picture of the creed. Pull hard. It shouldn't come off. There it is. This is our faith. We believe in one God who made and loves all that is. We believe in Jesus who was born, lived, died, and rose again. We believe in the Holy Spirit. This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you're here for the first time seeing this, what is new here is the hands. This is our faith. This is the faith we share. We are here in this building together because of God's mercy. We're many different people with many different spiritual gifts, but we share one faith. The thing that ties us together and makes us one family is God's saving mercy to us in Jesus Christ. Some of us have belonged to the family here at St. Hills a really long time, and some of us are new, but God's mercy is equally shared. This is our faith, that God who made the world is so consumed by love and mercy for his world that he came to earth, born as a human baby, lived, died, and rose again to rescue us. God's Spirit is the glue that holds us together and to him. If this is your faith, I'm going to ask you, will you stand with me? And as we sing this wondrous story together about God's mercy, may we let God's demonstration of mercy shape our worship as we sing. Let's take this opportunity to raise our hands and say, yes, this is our faith. We will offer our lives in service of this truth.